Commission's Residential Construction Cost Impact Work Group of May 24th, 2021. Before we get started, I want to remind us a little bit about our participation protocols in the virtual world. It helps a lot if you would mute yourself, whether you're on phone or whether you're on your computer, if you would mute yourself except when you need to speak. There's a lot of background noise coming through right now. Do not put yourself on hold, though, because that will play music in the background, and then we'll be unfortunately forced to disconnect you. There, that's much better. Okay, so the main thing is we'll go through each agenda item in turn, and I will call on and stack people's names. Please wait until you're called on to speak. Everybody who wants to speak will certainly have their opportunity. With that, I'm going to go ahead and do a roll call to ensure that we have a quorum for the record. Lee?
Here.
The Arnold? Alan Grimmillan?
Here.
All right. David Hillman?
Here.
Mike Kesey?
Here.
Ray Puzgatello?
Here.
Drew Smith?
Here.
Bill Smock? Jeremy Stewart? And Brian Walsh? We have 6 of 9 members. We do have a quorum, so we're ready to go. I think in Tallahassee we have Tom Campbell, Jim Hammers, Chris Howell, Mo Madani, and Justin Vogel from DVPR, and myself, Jeff Blair, as the commission's facilitator. So the next order of business is to review today's agenda. We'll get an overview.
This conference will now be recorded.
All right. We'll now get an overview of, various documents like the rule as it relates to the code modification statistics, the work plan, and then some general information on how these code changes work, and some additional background and reference materials. There'll be a little presentation on the 8th edition code update process, the work plan for the commission's development of the 8th edition, and then the Affordable Building Code 7th edition, which I think is really just a link to the ICC. Then we'll go through and look at the various code change assignments and actually, ask folks to make the assignments for a certain number of modifications, and then you'll get the specifics as we explain it later. But that's the primary business, is to get oriented and then for this code cycle, and then to give assignments for your individual review of various code amendments. There's 9 folks, and it's approximately 42 amendments each if we divvy it out, which we'll do later. And that's pretty much it. So unless there's any questions, is there a motion to accept the agenda as it was posted?
I move.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right. It's been a long time since our last meeting. In fact, it was May 6th of 2019 when we did the 7th edition code update. You've had a chance to review these. You've had them electronically. Is there any revisions or corrections to the minutes? And if not, is there a motion to accept the May 6th, 2019 minutes?
So moved.
The motion and second. Any discussion? That was from Lee and Drew, respectively. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, so we're just going to do some introduction and sort of review of scope of work. First is the rule. Is that something you're doing, Tom?
Yep, I'm just going to briefly show it to him. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Wanted to just bring your attention to this commission rule. This is rule 61G22.002, and it controls how the commission goes about updating and amending the code. Your role on the residential construction cost impact work group is now specifically part of the prominent of the process the commission will use to update the code. We're currently in the first phase of that process where the commission and tax are reviewing changes to the international codes and other model codes to determine if those changes should be brought into the Florida building code. And your part in this first step of the process has been highlighted on this page and states that before review by the commission's tax, the changes affecting residential construction shall be reviewed by the Residential Construction Cost Impact Work Group, and the report of the RCCIWG shall be made available to the tax. And we're going to be talking about how we're going to go about implementing this process and roadmap and report in this call. Does anybody have any questions about the rule?
Tom, I noticed we have Bill Smock joined, and then there's another caller who joined. If you joined by telephone and have not been identified, would you identify yourself, please?
That was Bill Smock getting on the phone while I was trying to download GoToMeetings.
Gotcha. So Bill's caller number 8 as well. Very good.
I'm about to sign off. Once I know that GoToMeetings is up and running good, I'll sign off on the landline.
Okay. All right. Tom, doesn't sound like there's anybody has any questions, so we should move on, or do you have some more on this one?
Nope. We can move on.
All right, so now we're going to take a look at the code modification statistics, so the work plan, and then a general information piece on the code change types. Mo, are you ready to start that process?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Mo Madani. Jim, can you make me the presenter, or Tom, somebody? Share, okay, we're gonna close this, and I'm gonna bring this here, and again, can you hear me good?
We can hear you, Mo.
Good. What I'm gonna do is, instead of going into item number 4 and talk about the statistics and the work plan for the work group, I want to get into the first the work plan for the update to the 2023 FEC. So I'm gonna go there and bring up the work plan. Can you see the work plan?
We can.
Good. So the work plan, as you see, it's mainly the work plan for updating the Florida Building Code to the 8th edition, 2023. And as you see, updating the work plan, the work plan consists of three major items. The first one is the selection of the model codes. The second part, or the second item, is the review of the model code changes. And then the third part is the proposing code changes to the foundation code, which is in this case the 2020 FBC, as well as those ICO changes approved under the first step, which is the review of the model code changes. So as you see from the work plan, the commission did select the 2021 ICO model code and the 2020 National Electric Code to conduct the review for this step one. The selection was made during the February Commission meeting, February 9, 2021. Then, as you see, the next step is the review of the model code changes. By law, you know, the commission is directed to review the latest and the changes to the latest I-code. And determine which those code changes need to be incorporated into the current edition of the Florida Building Code, which is the 2020 edition. So, first, what we did, we worked with the ICC to make sure that the 2021 I-code, along with the changes or the monographs, are posted on the ICC website and made available for viewing, by general public and interest group. And we will go through that. I will go into the site and show you the information that's available from the ICC website. The second step within the review of the model code changes, and as outlined in the rule that Tom went over, is that there's a direction that the staff mainly review the I-code changes and analyze those changes to provide for the following. First, to identify which I-code change or provisions overlap the provision of the FBC, and which I-code change would correlate directly with the provision of the FBC, and also which provisions provide for energy efficiency standards that's needed to make sure that the Florida Energy Code meets or exceeds the National Model Energy Code, whether the IECC or ASHRAE 90.1. Also, identify those provisions that is flood requirements. So staff have done that, and the information were published on in the Building Code Information System, which is, we'll go through shortly. The analysis has been available since May 17, 2021. And that's really the date which also starts the 45-day comment period. There is, by rule, all these, the I-code changes along with the staff analysis are subject to comments for 45 days. And when we say comments, we mean general comments. There is no allowance for alternate language or amendment to the code change. Just general comments. And the cycle for 45 days general comments will end July 1, 2021. As you see, as Tom said, you know, in order for you as a group to provide comments to the tax in a timely manner, we have included you within the time frame for the 45 days, so you can provide your comments, and those comments will be made available to the general public and to the tax for review and consideration. Now, after July 1, 2021, staff mainly compile the I-code changes along with the general comments received and publish a tracking chart and detail reports by August 2nd, 2021. Those will be available before the TAC meeting. As you see, the TAC will be meeting September, the week of the 24th, to review the I-code changes and the general comments submitted. And the TAC consideration of the I-code changes will be to provide recommendations to the commission. For example, those I-code changes, they should be rejected by, you know, and that's really kind of normally we compile them as a consent agenda where the commission can take them together as one. Or also those I-code changes that they recommend for approval. So those will be compiled as a list for us to be taken by the commission under consent. And those, you know, if needed, those I-code changes that rejected or approved, but after they feel like it should have individual consideration. So they will ask the commission to consider these individually. So that's what the TAC recommendations. Then after the TAC, you know, issued their recommendation, staff would then publish the TAC recommendation on the building code information system by October 15, 2021. Then, you know, the general public will be given an opportunity to pull any of the code changes, I-code changes from consent agenda for individual consideration, etc. And then the commission, the plan is for the commission to consider the TAC recommendation December, the week of the 14th of December 2021. And then after the commission meets, then the staff will post on the PCIS or online by January 3rd, 2020 to the commission action on the I-code changes. Then, as you see, there is step two, which is more you know, similar to what we did before, you know, during the prior code change process, which is in this step, where any individual interested group, general public can submit a code change, to the foundation code, which is in this case, the 2020 FBC, as well as those I-code changes approved by the commission under step one. We'll have a specific cycle for that, which is start in January 4th, 2022, all the way to February 15th, 2022. That's really the cycle for anybody to submit a code change. And then after that, we post all the code changes on the system by March 3rd, 2022, and then we subject those code changes to the first 45-day comment period, and then the TAC will take up those code changes along with the comment from the first 45-day in June, the week of the 20th of June 2022, and then. Then you will have another 45-day comment period where people can comment on the TAC recommendation. Those then, the comment from the second 45-day comment period, then it will be reviewed again by the TAC to provide mainly feedback on them to the commission. And ultimately, the commission will take up those the code changes in December 13th to the 14th, 2022. And then we start the rulemaking for the adoption. Ultimately, the plan is to get this code going into effect December 31st, 2023. That's really the work plan. Do you have any question on the work plan? All right, so I'm gonna get out of this work plan here and let's see. let's see. I'm going to go out here. And I'm going to, one thing I would like to also share with you is this 8th edition 2020 code update presentation. This here, it's this is the code mod page, which we keep, we keep updating. This is where everything really takes place. This is where we post the background information, any tracking charts or detail report that we put together in this process. You will find it in this page. As you see from this page, you will find that there is a link to the ICC website. So this link takes you to where you can review the iCode, the 2021. Along with that, next to it, there is the 2021 IPC Resource Handbook. This has in it the mainly the iCode changes, the monograph for the iCode changes to the 2021 iCode. So that's really organized by subcode, and next to it, the monograph. So that's available for you. And, you know, and by the way, in order to access them, you need to log in using username Florida, password spring 2021 review. The other thing I wanted to share with you is this really 2023 FBC code update power point presentation. This is we just really posted this, and this is a good presentation or PowerPoint. It gives you the steps that I went through shortly. Part one, you know, and then part two, and you know what we talked about, and then you have then ultimately, you know, the outcome, which is that we take to come up with the 2003 update to the Florida Building Code, which we call the Integrated Code. It consists with the, we take the 2020 FBC, the current code, we add to it those ICO changes approved by the commission, and ultimately those one that approved under the proposed code changes part two, and to come up with mainly the we will come up with the 2023 FBC. But yeah, the chart is really very easy to look, to go over if you want to, instead of the work plan as I showed you. Now let's see, we're gonna go, the other thing we have here is we have a in the work plan, we have also this here. There is a quick guide for which Joe will go over. Joe Bigelow, one of the staff here, will go over it shortly. He'll show you how to navigate it through the system or the code mod module, and how to submit comments and etc. So we'll go over it shortly. The other thing I have here is the one thing I need to share with you. We under this research or this year research program, we funded two research projects to look at the additional cost of construction from the 2021 iCode changes, including the energy changes. So as you see here, you will see there is an interim report on that from the Florida Solar Energy Center for the energy part of it, which outlines the iCode changes, and just there is a preliminary description and you know, and information on these code changes for the energy code. Also for the commercial part of the energy code, same thing, you'll find a report for that. And also we have a research that we are doing with University of Florida, which also to look at the additional cost to construction, in general. So these reports, actually the final reports for this project will be available in June. So, like for example, the one that, from the Florida Solar Energy Center, these reports are due, June 15, of this year. For UF, for the UF report is due June 1. So, and as we get those reports, I will make sure we update the list here. Those reports may be of a good tool or information for you as you review the I-code changes that's really to be assigned to you, maybe to go there and see what this research team thinks about a certain code change. Does it have additional cost to construction or not? So that, keep that in mind. I think this is, will be a helpful, a good information for you. Now I'm going to go out here. I'm going to go back to the meeting agenda. I'm going to start. One thing I want to look at is this here under item number 4. By the way, if you have any questions, do ask. It's really is a casual meeting. I'm not really. So if you have any question you want to ask, do interrupt me, and I'll be glad to go over it, see how I can help answer it. So. Any questions so far, by the way? Okay, well, it's good. 2021 I-code changes statistics. This is really a document that is tells you that so for the I-code changes, the 2021, we are dealing with a 1284 code change. So as I mentioned to you, the staff was charged with the task to identify which one they correlate directly, which one is overlap, etc. As you see, just in front, for the total number, there is 815 code changes that correlate directly, which we'll get into that, what we mean by correlate directly. It's about 64%. There is a 453 code changes overlap, which is 35%. It's 12 flood requirements, 4 non-applicable, etc. Because they are really codes that is not really part of the Florida Building Code, like the International Green Code or the International Swimming Pool Code, or etc. As you see, we did tabulate for you by subcode how many code changes involved in this case. For the building, there's 486 code changes. For residential, there's 264 I code changes that you'll be reviewing. For the existing building code, there's 100. Energy has 267. That's really commercial plus residential. So we try to really, you will be kind of reviewing the residential part of those energy code changes. Also, we try to really break them down by tax. So, like for example, the energy tax will take up 263 code changes. Fire tax, 826. Structural, 307, etc. Now, with regard to the classification, staff classification of the I-code changes, when we say overlap, what we mean with that is that the original text of the 2021 I-code change is not consistent with the 2020 FBC. What that means is that when, for example, this code change in this case, S9311, And the I-code number for it is FS133-33-18. By the way, all the I-code changes as uploaded in the system will have sort of specific code change number, which we'll go over it shortly. But let's say if this code change is FS133-18, it's changing section 1404.4 reflashing in the building code building, and added the text, as you see underlined. However, when we reviewed this section against the 2020 FDC, which is the foundation code, that the sections do read differently. There's additional, there's a lot of stuff that's in there that's not in the I-code. So because of this difference in the structure and the language, we consider this to be an overlap. When we say an overlap, what we want to do is we want to encourage the tax, the technical advisory committee, and whoever really reviewing this code to say, hey, you know, because we feel that there's overlap here, we should defer consideration of this code change to step two or bar two, where anybody could really take this code change, revise to match the, to make it really consistent with the 2020 code. So we will gonna encourage the tax is, hey, you know, if it's overlap and there is a difference in tax, let's just not get it accepted under part one. Let's just defer that to the to step two, which is start in, as I mentioned to you, will start next year, where January of next year. So the other thing, if it's really, when we say correlate directly, we're saying, okay, for example, here you have I-code change G122-18. You see they're struck out such as hall, corridors, stairways, etc. But the Florida also has the same text. So the original text of the I-code change mirror the existing text of the 2020, we call it correlate directly. So we detect and they can consider this code change in this case and, accept it if they feel it's needed. So when we say overlap, we're saying, hey, there's a problem here. We need to just wait and make sure that we do this in step two.
Question, so before you move on. Yes. On that last one you just had on the screen. If the TAC recommends keeping the I code change, is that like an automatic the change to the Florida building code? Then we would automatically strike those last words as well?
No, I think really for the TAC, they only provide recommendation to the commission. Ultimately, it would have to be approved by the commission in December, and then still will be subject to review during phase two. Somebody could propose a code change to it under step two or phase two. So this is really the review of the I-code changes. I call it the first step in the process. There is more to go to really get it somewhat final. No, it's not the final.
It's true, but if the TAC recommends approval of the I code change and the commission approves it, that would mean that it replaces the Florida building code language, correct?
Except if somebody proposed code change to it.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
I mean,
correct.
We put it back if we wanted. Okay, somebody doesn't have to actually physically propose striking that language if the I-code change is accepted, is what I'm
saying. Yeah, you're right. In that sense, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So this is really, okay, so we're going to go out of here and then go into, I'm going to go back to the, now to the item number 4, code modification statistic. What staff have done said, okay, for you guys, here we go. You have, these are the changes to the International Residential Code 2021. Here, as you see, we group them by tag. So accessibility tag, code admin tag, structural tag, roofing, mechanical, energy tag, fire. So we group them. Also, we noted the number of the code changes by chapter. So, for example, for a structural tag, chapter 2 definition, there is 5 that correlate directly, 0 overlap, 5 total. Let's say, for example, chapter 3, building and planning, there is 9 directly correlate, 11 overlap, is 20 total. Foundation, same thing. So we've given you that by chapter, by tag, and we've given you the total. For example, structural, there is a total correlate directly 47, overlap 66, a total of 113. And same thing, energy. We did it by chapter, we did it by also as a group. Now, one thing you wanna know also for the overlapping, there is, like, especially with the residential code, when you get to the structural blocks of the residential code, which with our chapter 6, chapter 5, chapter 8, a lot of the sections in those chapters were taken out or reserved under the 2020 residential code, and those because they are not applicable to Florida. So you're going to find a lot of the code changes to those chapters, especially in the structural bar, you're not going to find text for them in the foundation code, the 2020. So we call them, we consider them overlap. So overlapping. So you're going to find a lot of that in the residential code. And you know, if it's overlapped, it's not, and there's no text there, there's nothing you can do, really. So we, in general, in total, you have 210, code changes that correlate directly, 175 overlap, there's a total of 381, code changes for the residential as given here in this statistic table. Any question about this? Okay, good. All right. Let's go into now, we're going to go into the work plan for you guys. The work plan is, as stated in the rule, the objective is discuss and provide comments to the commission regarding impactful code changes to the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code Residential. And as you see, there is A and B. Step 1, review the 2021 changes to the International Residential Code and provide comments on impactful code changes. Step 1. And then B, review the proposed modification to the 7th edition 2020 Florida Building Code Residential and the Commission approved I-Code changes as submitted during Step 2. Of the code change process and provide comments on the impact of code changes. So the schedule, we're meeting today, talk about the I-code changes, the work plan, and then maybe as you see the the I-code changes that need to be reviewed by you. The work group first meeting, which is really is to really review the 2020 changes to the International Residential Code (IRC) and provide comment to the Tax Commission on impactful code changes. We don't know. I know the plan is to have a meeting, but whether we need to have the meeting as a conference call, webinar, or on site, it's based on how you want to approach this. The second meeting, we'll talk about it probably next year, but there will be a second meeting. The first meeting, as you see, it'll come within the 45 days comment period, which we talked about. The second meeting will be mainly after the tax render their recommendation, and then they'll second, and you'll provide your comments within the second 45-day comment period. This is the work plan. Now, after this, I'm gonna go now to.
Hey, Mo.
Any questions?
Mo, can we talk about that first meeting since you just mentioned it? I thought it might be worth just trying to get that set now.
No, I'm trying to go into the system, show them what is really involved, and maybe come, it's fine, either way, it's okay with me.
If you want to do that first, that'll be fine.
Yeah, I think that we need to really get into what is involved here. So I'm going to go back here. What we did, if you remember last time when we reviewed the I-code changes, we did that manually. We had, staff had tracking charts, detailed reports, all published manually, and we had to. What we did this time, we mainly uploaded the I-code manograph into our code mod system, which we have been using for the triannual code changer process throughout the update to the Florida Building Code. So if I click on the proposed code modification, here's where you're gonna see a small menu. It says proposed code modification menu, and it says it finds proposed code modification. So if I go into find proposed code modification, I can, for example, in the system, go in here and select residential, and I can then search for, if I wanted to see all the residential code changes, I can click search. You will see here's the I-code changes with for the residential or the IRC 2021, which is, it gives you the number for the I-code change, RB289-19, and also it gives you a Florida specific number for the I-code. If you click on the number here, you will see the mainly what the staff entered. We did enter those the I-code changes into our system. So you will see that the staff who entered in this case is Momadani with the address. You will see that the staff also, you will see the I-code number, in this case RB289-19. You will see that we classified it as an overlap. You will see that we say, that this is overlap because the original text of this code change is not consistent with that of the 2020 FPC residential. You see, we uploaded in the text and mod of the mod the code change. We also told you that this is approved as amended. with comments, and so on. We gave you also a summary of the modification, as you see here, and also for a quick study, and also we gave you the rationale. All the information that you see here is taken out from this monograph. So we also uploaded the monograph. This is what the ICO change as approved through the ICC process. It has the ICO change, has the section, the code, and the reasoning, and it has also, all of them have a cost impact, statements. This, for example, for this code change says the code change proposal will increase the cost of construction. Radon test kits are inexpensive, less than $50 for the two tests, including laboratory determination. So this is really, that will be available for you let's see. Let me close this one.
Had too many tabs open, Mo.
I know. This is what happens when you...
Oh, yeah.
Mo was demonstrating our new security feature.
We all know that feeling.
Yeah, let's see where we're gonna... let's see. Here we are. Here's the stuff. And I'm trying to get to... Let's see.
And you may come across this... and you can just pull up another browser.
Well, I can just go into it now. Let's see. Proposed code modification, find. Yeah, I'm okay. So I'm going back to the residential. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Can you? Okay, good. The subcode here, again, residential. And I'm going to go back to the code change. Things doesn't change with databases, so it's still there, the code change. That's the beauty of it. You're always going to find it. All right. Now, so as I mentioned to you, the monograph here is for all these code changes that you see over the iCode, we have the same structure. You will be able to see the monograph, the actual code change, the reasoning for it, whether there is a cost impact, the action, committee action, and so on. So this code change, for example, is overlapping. So the other thing that we have in the system, you will see that we'll have anybody can submit a general comment to these code changes, but you have to have a login and password. So then, which we'll talk about it shortly. But that's the database, and the idea behind it is for you as a member to come into the system and input your comments directly to it, and we will talk about it to see to show you how easy it is. But anyway, so this is the system, and the other thing you can actually under this code change module, I can go to the same residential. I can search for code changes by chapter. I can for example, admin chapter 1. I can search for them and bring up those. I can search by also sub-classification. Like, for example, if I know a chapter 1 overlapping, I can residential. And now I'm going to go by chapter one. If you want to look, you can search and it'll bring up those chapter one overlapping. Also, you can search by a code change. So if you know the code change number, for example, the one we just looked at, you can either enter the Florida specific number, which is 93311, and you click on it and bring up the code change, or you can, another way, you can put in the I code number, which is in this case FS133-18, and you can search, and again, so that's really like for the other things that in this here, like for, you can search, for example, to see who submitted comments. So I can go in here and see if anybody so far submitted any comments, general comments, on any of these code changes. I'll search, and I'll see there's only one person, which is staff. So far, although the cycle has started on the 17th, so far we have not received any comments from anybody. But you can search for those comments by name or just by subcode. You can, so it, yeah, and that will be a help to helping, it will help you when you get into trying to review the comments submitted by another member or what have you from your group. But that's really the, so far, let's see, let me go into now.
Before you go off, Mo, I noticed that you put the alpha characters in for the ICC number. It's still with the Florida number. You just put the numbers, right? No alpha character.
Yeah, and that's Joe will go over it, but that's, yeah, the number,
okay.
Number is for Florida specific. I code will be like, you know, will be okay to add alphabetic. All right. Let's see. Okay, let's go into now. All right, let's see here. I'm gonna go out here. Gonna go in here. Let's see. Tom, you want to talk about the meeting now, or you want to wait till Joe go over the comments?
I think we can do the meeting now, and then do the assignment, and then do the assignments, and then have Joe go for the best way to search and make comment and make comments, or I can do it too, because I've been doing the same thing. Okay.
I just wanted to, before we go into that, I just want to explain something. I think when you, if let's say for example, when you input your comments into the system on a code change, that comment, it has to be verified in order for the public to see it, or you know, for any member to see it. I just want to make sure there is that verification step involved. We'll talk some more about it after we go over how you want to do this first meeting. Go ahead.
Sure. All right. So I know we've been sending a lot of emails around about trying to get this first meeting set, and we basically got two options now, because I've heard back from the hotels as well. We can meet on site if you all want to, in Gainesville on June 29th. That's the only date we were able to get from the two hotels. I sent about 8 quotes out. So, but those are the dates that we got, where we had a quorum of the group. Or we also think as staff that it is definitely a viable option to do the first meeting on the phone as a webinar as well, which could give us some more flexibility to ensure we could get as close to the full group as possible for the meeting and we'd look to do it on the 28th, the 29th, or the 3rd, or the 30th of June. And so we just wanted to get some feedback you all on if you want to do it on site on the 29th, or would like to try and do it as a phone call on either the 28th, 29th, or 3rd, or 30th. Jeff, do you think it would be best to just do a roll call and see where they are?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd go ahead and do that. So if you, I'm going to ask first if your preference is, if you want to just give me your preference. So as Tom said, June 29th would be the only option to do an in-person meeting. That'd be in Gainesville. So if that's your preference, you'd say that. Or we could do the 28th, 29th, or 30th by doing the same process we're doing today with a webinar. So I'll call you by name, and why don't you give me your preference? Lee?
On site the 29th.
Okay. Alan?
I don't really have a preference. I'm good with either.
Okay. David?
I would prefer on site, but I may not be available for the month of June. So a webinar will be fine on whatever day we do it.
So when you're saying you're not available for the month of June, would you be available by webinar?
I might be available by webinar. I found out last week I have to have a triple bypass in the next 2 weeks.
What?
Do I need a medical note?
So if you have that in the next 2 weeks, you're going to need at least, 4 weeks to even vaguely start doing stuff. You could probably do it by webinar.
I can do it by webinar. It just depends whether it's 2 weeks out or 3 weeks out on whether or not I will be available in the date we use. So I'm happy to do it by webinar, and I'll just keep everybody posted. I'll just keep you posted, Chris, as to what the dates are.
But the first meeting will be going over what they find for costs, right?
Yes.
Making recommendations for the tax.
Yeah, I think that David would be fairly incapacitated for a while to try to do the work, is what I'm getting at. I mean, you might be well enough by the call, but you might not be able to get the work done by the call.
They said I'll be in the hospital for a week. Other than that, it's at home and not driving around for 4 weeks after that.
Hey, Jeff can give you some experience on how long it takes to come back from open heart surgery. So
basically, if you didn't do the work before you went into surgery, you're not going to do it by the 29th. That's a fact.
Right.
It won't be possible. Even though you're home, you're not going to be capable of doing that kind of work. So the question is, if you got an assignment today, would you be able to review and provide comments prior to going into your surgery? If the answer is no, then we need to divide it up differently than how we planned.
I should be able to, yes.
Okay.
All right. So we'll work on that basis, and then you can provide your recommendations. And even if you're not there, we'll have them and we can use those. All right. Okay, Ray, what's your preference?
Webinar. Any of the 3 days.
All right. Drew, what's yours?
Either or is fine with me.
All right, Bill, yourself, how about you?
I'm good with either. I prefer the in-person meeting. I work better that way.
Okay. So based on that, we have three preferences for on-site, two of whom said that they'd be okay with the webinar, or would pick either way. So it looks like, based on that analysis, it's probably more likely that it would end up being a webinar to accommodate the most people, but that's a preliminary analysis. We don't know about Jeremy or Brian at this point. So, Tom, is that what it sounds like to you two?
I think so, and I think it'd be a good approach for this meeting and for this meeting. And if we want, set that date, date now, that would be fine as well. We can let the other two know when it's going to be.
Well, based on what we heard, it sounds like perhaps the 29th might be the best approach.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Nope, that's fine with me.
Yeah, do any of you have any issues with the 29th by webinar, who said that you would do either or could do it on site? It seemed like Lee and Alan and
Mike. I can make that work.
Mike, did I skip you by accident?
You did, but that's okay. Either's fine with me.
I apologize. I just noticed the blank on my thing here. No, you're not. I'm just old and can't see so good anymore, you know. All right, let's go with the 29th as a web-based meeting. And then those who can't make it, which, you know, hopefully all of you will, with the exception of David, who will have done his assignment and provided the information, we'll go with that approach. Okay, well, that's a good step. So now I think we should get into discussing the assignments. And I think, Tom, do you want to take the lead on this part?
Yep. Mo, can you send it back to me now, please?
Send it back to you. You're asking too much of me.
Let me go and find you. Let me go find you.
You go find me. It's all right.
Well, while we're doing that, I'm just going to make a couple of quick comments. So what we're going to try to do is distribute the load, so to speak. And the most important ones are the ones that correlate directly. So we want to make sure that everybody gets about 24 of each of those. And then the overlaps, which are less likely to be approved during this phase, but, you know, they'd have to be proposed as code amendments since they are many or code, there's about 19 each. So we want to make sure we get those sort of divided, but also if you have specific preferences or skill sets of code areas. Go ahead, Tom.
Sure. So the first column we have here, we're going to work in the correlate directly, and we're just going to work down by TAC. I'm going to replace the numbers on this screen with your name, and then those will be your code assignment, your code assignments. And I know you've gotten a lot of information to today. Our plan is, once we get these code assignments that we're going to send an email tomorrow morning that's going to have your assignment, your assignments, your login information, and then some examples and a step-by-step process on how to find these code the modifications you've been assigned in the segment in the system. So does anyone want to take this first section? That's the code admin TAC, and then the first two of the structural TAC.
I'll take those.
So that's 17, Tom. Is that what you're thinking? We want to get
closer to 24. We can work on squaring away when we make final assignments tomorrow. Make sure it's all nice and even. It's nice.
Okay.
Anybody interested in taking this next section of structural?
I can take structural, kind of up my alley, for framing and things like that. Okay. And I could probably do the roofing, too.
All right, we'll go down and we'll work you in right there as well.
Depending on what you need.
Numbers. That's fine. That's a good amount. with those three. And do we have anybody for those last three?
I'll take those.
Who that was Mike?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, so that now takes us down to mechanical tack, where there's 25. So if someone's interested in these, they could just take the whole section.
Just a quick question. Do we have any mechanical contractors who are part of the group or ones who have that interest?
This is Alan. I'll take it if no one's volunteering. I thought we were going to try to get an electrical contractor, too. Will we be able to do that or no?
Not yet, but that could definitely be something we try and get before the next meeting if we thought it was necessary.
So who took on the mechanical? Is that me?
This is Alan. I can take
you. Okay. Just to point out one quick thing, and Mo hit this earlier, is that the document that's put out by University of Florida has extensive cost. Their estimate of cost. So when you're reviewing these, your primary thing is you're reviewing them for is what sort of cost impacts they have. That's a good document, as Mo said, that might give you some information, as well as consulting your own subcontractors on what they might charge to get a sense as well.
All right, then we'll go down to the energy tack, I believe. And Drew, I think we were going to assign these to you if you want them.
Absolutely, sure.
Do you want the whole chunk, or do you want them, or do you want to split them off?
He wants them all. Well, I'm just go ahead, Drew. You answer for yourself. That was kind of a tongue in cheek, but you are the expert.
I can handle it, I think.
Drew, this is Momedani. As I mentioned, the Florida Solar Energy Center report is due June 15, which has all the analysis, the cost analysis on the energy code changes. Also staff would we're gonna upload.
You're breaking up a little bit. You're having a little kind of a maybe. You said staff can also.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that sounds better. Go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, staff also. During this, as soon as we get the report from the Florida Solar Energy Center, we will be uploading, the information, especially, knowing which energy I-code change that is needed for meeting the requirements of DOE with regard to the equivalency. So that will be available June 15th. All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, so that takes us to the fire tack, and we're going to split this amongst two, but who would like the first chapter or the definition? Anybody interested?
I'll be glad to help out. This is Lee.
And then I'll do arsenal again, and we need one more for the rest of this section.
And Bill Smock, I'll take the rest of the section, and then all of plumbing.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew we had somebody. Bill was the one who took them last time to plumbing, so that's good.
Yeah. And then anybody interested in these special occupancy ones? There's just four of them down there.
Is there anybody without an assignment at this point?
If not yet, because we do have two who don't have any assignments that I have to incorporate into it, so we can work on that. Right now,
this is Joe Belcher. I may be mistaken, but I believe Brian Walsh is an HVAC guy.
Is he?
I believe so. I'm not positive, but I believe so.
Okay. You will...
In your deliberations there.
Yep, no problem. And then, as far as the overlapping ones go, unless someone really wants certain ones, I think we can just assign those out amongst the group.
So you're suggesting that you'll just...
As needed. Yeah, so then
you'll just... Go ahead.
Yep, that staff will just assign those and send out the assignments tomorrow, unless someone really wants a certain section, then I can get your names in there now.
For instance, Drew, if you wanted to look at the overlaps, you could offer that or not.
I'll look at them.
All right, so staff will give the assignments you've agreed to and then sort of parse out the remaining ones to individuals so that each person has an amount and all of them are assigned.
This is Alan Grimion. For what Joe said, if there's a mechanical contractor if that's the case and he wants to take mechanical, I'm okay with that.
Alan will check out that and we'll check on that and then assign them equipment accordingly from there.
Okay.
All right.
If you want to give me all the overlaps for my section, I'll take those too.
Okay.
So Ray will take those. Okay, good. So, Tom, do we want to speak at all about the sort of the general posture of the commission's general posture on overlaps, or wait until after the commission meets in June to kind of get a general sense of that?
We'll have a better sense when we get out of the commission meeting, but I would focus your most rigorous part of your review on the ones that correlate directly, and we'll let you know about the overlapping ones in a couple of weeks about what we think the commission is going to want to do with those modifications.
Okay. So we've gone through the assignments, we've settled on the next meeting, we've seen most of the documentation. I think Joe was going to, or you, Tom, I guess, or one of the two, going to go ahead and
sort it. I'll run through it real quick, and then if Joe wants to add in anything, we can do from working on how the assignments we're going to work. This is what I notice as far as searching for these go. So you end up here, and working off that statistics chart, I know Mo showed all the functionality on this. What I found to be the most useful when I was searching for them was that you start with the staff classification, either overlap or correlates directly, because that's our two columns. Fill that one out. Go into the subcode, pick residential, unless you're doing the energy ones. And then pick your applicable chapter. And then the tag. For this one, we'll pick the structural tag, because that's how the statistics sheets organized, and you click search, and it will pull all of those up for your little cabinet, for your little category there, and it should correspond back to the statistics sheet. So for structural attack, that was chapter two, of the residential code. So those would be all ones that were assigned to Mr. Pozzatello. And then you are, again, we talked about you're going to get an email tomorrow that's going to give you a unique username and login, which will then allow you to come down here to submit a comment. You'd select that you want to submit a general comment. Click next. And you'll be able to enter in this field here whatever your comment is that you believe that the code change will increase the cost of construction by X dollars. And you'll hit submit and stab it, and staff will be able to save it into the system, or it'll be saved in the system. Staff will be able to see it, and that's what we will use to build the agenda, for the meeting on the 29th. Is all your comments that have been submitted into the system. Mo, would you like me to give it back to Joe so he could go through it as well?
No, I think really just stay here. I just want to clarify something here. As a member, when you submit your comments using this box that was noted by Tom, your comment will come to the staff, and the staff would review it. Now, the process is that after the staff reviewing it, we'll verify it, meaning that when we verify it, you'll be able to see it, and your other members will be able to see it, and the general public will be able to see it. That way, that will give you guys the opportunity to review the comment on the other code changes or whatever, or you get before the meeting. Is that doable? Do you want your comment to be made public as it's submitted? The other option is to, which is really kind of be more work, will be to do it at the meeting. That means we have to bring the comments at the meeting and verify it at the meeting. My suggestion is we do it, we are verify those comments as they come in, and then that way everybody will be able to see them. If there is a need to change any of these comments, that could be done at the meeting. If it's something verified and you guys felt like it needs to be revised, can be done at the meeting and update, the comment can be updated, as long as we do it within the 45 days comment period.
This is Ray Fusatello. Is there some general comments you want us to use as a normal, if there's no cost changes? I mean, should we put some stuff in there that we're all using the same verbiage on some of the stuff, so we're not worrying about this?
No, I think my take on it is this. I think your task is to point out if there is additional cost to construction. So if there's a code change, it's a clarification, and you didn't see any concern. If you see a concern about it, just go ahead with your concern. But if you're okay with it, I think you have the option to say, I'm good with this code change, or if you don't want to say anything, it's fine. But I think the focus on this here is that your responsibility is to show which code change has a cost impact. I don't have any general language. You could say I agree with the code change, or you could say I disagree, or for some reason. And still, you can provide a general comment in general.
And if there's no cost change, you just say no cost impact, just so we know it's been looked at.
You could do that too. It's fine.
Tom?
Yeah, my only suggestion, I was going to see what Mo thought, was that their task, as Mo was saying, is to identify those that do have a change and then to give an estimate of what the cost, what they think the cost impact would be. And if you come across a change and there's no cost impact, it would be fine to just leave that blank and not put anything in as a comment, as a comment for that moment, for that modification.
Okay, so we'll just leave it blank if there's no cost in impact.
Yep, I think that'll be the easiest thing to do, and the easiest thing for staff to administer to.
I do think though that if you do have some opinion about it that you feel is important to express to the work group, you should enter that opinion.
Absolutely. Yep.
In addition to the cost, like this would cost $1,000 per residential unit. Is unnecessary and not needed. If that was your opinion about it, if it was just the cost is all it was, then that would be what you put in there. And last time we had some major discussion about sort of ensuring that everybody was using the same methodology for what the cost was. And I haven't gone back and looked at the notes from last year, but my memory of that was, and maybe Tom, you have a memory as well, is that you had decided that you really wanted to ensure that you included whatever percentage on top of that would be a standard percentage. So it would be what the cost passed on to the homeowner would ultimately be, not just your hard cost and change differential, but what's the homeowner going to pay for this code change after you, do your markup and your subcontractor does their markup, et cetera.
Yep.
So that if everybody would agree to do that, so it's not just that it costs $1 per device, it's $1 per device plus 40%, because between the electrician and yourself, or the plumber and yourself, it's going to be an extra 40 cents, so it's $1.40 per device, if that's what it ends up being.
Everybody and I'll make sure, and I'll make sure to include that in the email tomorrow where we talk about what their assignments are going to be.
Sounds good.
Good question, folks, about when it comes to once we review it, if we find nothing to comment on, just leaving it blank, does that help you know that we've reviewed it, or do you want to see anything from a review, or is it just making it more complicated when we put?
Paul, I think that you kind of suggested. So the question is it better for them just to say no cost impact, and that would prove that it would show that it was gone through. It would also show the TAC that the work group had reviewed it, or was it better?
We trust that they're, and I don't know if Mo wants to speak first, but we trust the fact that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing for this, and I don't think we need to see a note on all three of the changes that say no cost impact just to confirm that they've reviewed that mod. We're going to be following up throughout this process to make sure that your comments are being put into the system and that they are going to be doing the review, so I don't think that they need to make a note on every single one unless they want to identify that they did the work. But
I think this is Mohammed. I think that's really that's also would facilitate the review when you get together. If you only focusing on those ones that you feel that they have they're impactful and add additional cost, that would also help streamline the review. Otherwise, you have to look at each one, because you have a comment on it. I think I will avoid that. Just stick with the mission.
Okay.
which is really to point out those one which is, has impact.
So we should all do them the same way then, in that basis, not having some people do one way or the other. So the way would be based on what Tom most suggested is that you only provide a comment if there is a cost, what the cost impact is. Of course, you're welcome to comment on the other ones, but not about the cost. Just like, hey, that's a really terrible code amendment or whatever. But as far as determining whether there's a cost increase, only put down whether there is one and not if there's not one.
Yeah, Jeff, another thing I want to say. Okay, because of the fact you have a login and password that tied to the URI group, that's really, that'll be nice to really just stick with that. However, if you have other interests and you feel like you want to submit a comment on these code changes just through your sign, sure, you can do it under your email, you can always register to comment, general comments, like anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any other questions? Any other questions about the process? And staff will give you your assignments and specific iCode update changes tomorrow with some additional instructions. Any work group member have any other questions or comments? All right. Do we have anybody from the public that wants to comment?
Okay.
In that case, I would ask for a motion to adjourn and second, and then we'll do it.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion to second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you on June 29th.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah.